sing about tonight, but it's definitely right down those lines. My house is full, my field is empty. I'm glad that we can have a good time in the house of God. I'm glad that folks want to be in the house of God, and that's a wonderful thing, but at some point, our Christianity and what we believe, and even our service for the Lord, has to permeate outside the walls of this church, amen? And there's a lost world out there that you and I need to go and reach and be concerned with other than just sitting in the house of God. Tonight, I just want to read to you one verse. You know the chapter very well anyway, but I just want to read to you one verse and just take a few moments and look at this tonight. Verse number 2 of Psalms 100. The Bible says here, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Lord, we love You tonight. God, we thank You so much for the opportunity we have to be in Your house. God, we thank You for these Thy people that have come to hear Your word. Lord, I pray tonight that You'd help us. I pray You'd help us out to divide the word of truth, but as well, I pray tonight You would help us to get something from You. I pray, Lord, You'd speak to our hearts. I pray You'd illuminate us, Lord, that You would light a fire in some of us, Lord, and that maybe that fire's there, but You would help it to stay and give us the wherewithal to continue on with what we're doing. And God, whatever it is, I pray that needs to be done in our lives, each and every one of us in a special way, You'd speak to us, and we'll thank You for what You're going to do. Cleanse me, Lord, of my sin. Empty me of self. God, fill me with Your Spirit. Help me tonight to preach only what thus saith the Lord. We ask You these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this thought, serving and singing. Serving and singing. Now, these two things have to do with our work and our worship. Much of what the church is about and much of our goal and the reason for our existence and the reason that you and I are here hinge on those two things, serving and singing. They hinge on those two things, worship and work. And if Crossroads Baptist Church, I'll submit to you tonight, if we can get these two things right and everything that they represent, we're going to be a successful church for the glory of the Lord. If we can get these two things right, the serving and the singing, which equal and which are the same as work and worship, we're going to be doing all right for the Lord. We look at this tonight, I want you to think about several things. In our text, this is some good counsel, by the way. This is some good advice given to us here in verse number 2. But I want you to notice and think about the thought, first of all, of serving the Lord. The Bible says here to serve the Lord with gladness. Now, there's some good admonition here for you and I, but I want you to notice several things about our service and what it ought to be. I want you, first of all, just notice that first word, and the Bible says serve. And tonight we'll think about this, the people for service. The people for service. He says here, serve the Lord. The command I want to say to you tonight is given to you and I, who knows that the book of Psalms was written to the people of God and for the people of God. And they would use those Psalms, of course, as their song book and many other things, as they would have different festivals and everything. And so understand that they were given to the people of God. And so when we're told to serve the Lord, the people He's talking to is you and I. It's me and you, and we love the promises of God. Thank God for the promises. I love the promises of God. Amen. I'm glad we can stand on the promises, but sometimes we want to dodge the precepts. And God said tonight, you and I, that we need to serve the Lord. Many times we're too busy with our own life to serve the Lord. We get caught up in anything and everything. We're busy with some kind of recreation. We're busy in business. We're busy with family life and other interests, and nothing wrong with any of those things. But sometimes we can get too busy to serve the Lord. And it's amazing too, we can come up with some of the neatest and most cleverest excuses when it comes to serving the Lord, can't we? Well, I mean, we can come up with them. Can I say to you, I've just come to the conclusion of this, that regardless of what it is, people that want to be there are there. Amen? It's quiet in here tonight. Y'all going to tell, I'll preach for 3 hours. Praise God. You better, hey, don't get quiet on me tonight because I'm preaching this. I said that I believe the people that want to be involved in the work of God are going to be involved in the work of God. Amen? Serve the Lord with gladness. And the people who really want to be there, buddy, they'll find a way to be there. I promise you this, you had a football ticket, you'd find a way. You had a ticket to that concert, whoever that is you want to see. You had a ticket to the racetrack or the fishing show or the golf course. You'd figure out a way. And people that want to be there are there. And by the way, everybody wants to be thought of as a servant, don't they? But here's what I found in my few short years of serving God and serving among other people is that people want to be thought of as a servant, watch this, until they're treated like one. Hello? People want to be called a servant. They want to act like a servant. They want to be viewed as a servant of God until we're treated like a servant. Preacher, something I can do around the church? Yeah, we need the toilet cleaned. Anything that we, you know what I like? I'm just glad that there's some people that'll do it all. I'm saying we like being a servant until we're treated like a servant. But it's amazing the excuses and reasons people can find when they don't want to do something. I thank the Lord for those who are here, whether we're cleaning out the septic line or whether it's teaching the adult class and being out in front of people or singing something special. I thank the Lord that those people that, whether no matter what it is, they're going to be here and they want to serve the Lord. And whatever that means, they want to be a part of it. You and I, whoever, we're going to have to answer to the Lord for knowing the Word of God who plainly has said to us, serve the Lord. We ought to resolve that we're going to serve the Lord this year with our life. You see, I want you to understand, it's a personal thing, serving God. It's a personal decision. Your wife can't make it for you, sir. Your husband can't make it for you, ma'am. Your children can't make it for you. And listen, it is a personal thing. There's going to have to be something deep down inside of you where you have a love for God and you have gratitude for God for all He's done for you to the point that you want to serve Him with your life. You want to do something for God with your life. You want to do anything you can to just be there. Boy, I like Martha was there. Now, thank the Lord we know Mary had that better part. But Martha, you know what? She's caught up and busy. And we give old Martha a bad rap. But the fact of the matter is, Martha just wanted to serve Jesus. She just wanted to serve the Lord. And sometimes that does mean busy work. But sometimes it just means sitting at His feet. D.L. Moody said this. He wrote in his Bible the following words next to Isaiah 6:8. Of course, Isaiah 6:8, where he said, I saw also the Lord high lifted up. And then he said, he heard a voice, the Lord saying, whom shall I send or who shall go? And you know the famous verse, here am I, Lord, send me. Next to those words in his Bible, D.L. Moody wrote this. He said, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. Hey, can I say to you tonight, it's not great ability that's required. It's availability and dependability. That's what God's looking for in service for Him. I want to read to you something that I ran across in looking at this message. It's a little poem. It says, the master was searching for a vessel to use. On the shelf there were many, which one would he choose? Take me, cried the gold one, I'm shiny and bright. I'm of great value and I do things just right. My beauty and luster will outshine the rest, and for someone like you, master, gold would be the best. Unheeding, the master passed on to the brass. It was wide-mouthed and shallow and polished like glass. Here, here, cried the vessel, I know I will do. Place me on your table for all men to view. Look at me, called the goblet of crystal so clear. My transparency shows my contents so dear. Though fragile am I will serve you with pride, and I'm sure I'll be happy your house to abide. The master came next to a vessel of wood, polished and carved, it solidly stood. You may use me, dear master, the wooden bowl said, but I'd rather you used me for fruit, not for bread. Then the master looked down and saw a vessel of clay. Empty and broken it helplessly lay. No hope had the vessel that the master might choose to cleanse and make whole, to fill and to use. Ah, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I'll mend it and use it and make it all mine. I need not the vessel with pride of itself, nor the one who is narrow to sit on the shelf, nor the one who is big-mouthed and shallow and loud, nor one who displays his content so proud. Not the one who thinks he can do all things just right, but this plain earthly vessel filled with power and might. Then gently he lifted the vessel of clay, mended and cleansed it and filled it that day, spoke to it kindly, there's work you must do. Just pour out to others as I pour into you. The Lord's looking for availability, not ability. You and I ought to just desire to be service for Him in the point that we just want to let Him pour into us something that we can pour into somebody else's life or pour out into service for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the second thing tonight. Not only do we see here the people for service, but I want you to notice the second thing, the person to serve. The Bible says here, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. You know what I found out? We're prone and we're quick to serve everything but the Lord sometimes. I mean, listen, we'll volunteer for stuff in the PTA. We'll volunteer for some community project. We'll volunteer for the ball team. We'll volunteer to be a coach. We'll volunteer to be an official. We'll volunteer for all. Listen, I'm for all those things. I've done many. We'll volunteer for the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. I'm for all those things at one time. I've done most of those things in my life. But I can tell you this, but there's nothing better you could do with your time. There's nothing better you could do with your life. There's nothing better you could do with everything you have than to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no higher calling or no higher office. We look for worldly honor in serving, but the world doesn't honor serving God. They're looking for honor serving the world. William Carey, he's called the father of modern missions. He served the Lord in India for many years. He gradually got concerned about the attitude of his son Felix. The young man had promised to become a missionary, but he reneged on his vows when he was appointed as an ambassador to Burma by the Queen of England. William Carey wrote this to his friend, asking prayer for his son with these words. He said, "Pray for Felix. He has degenerated into an ambassador of the British government when he should be serving the King of Kings." Said he's degenerated. Other words, he's went down. Other words, he's fallen in office. He's fallen in duty. He's went down. He's doing a lower thing now. He's serving as an ambassador for Burma when he ought to have been serving the King of Kings. Friend, listen, there's no higher calling, nothing you'll do with your life. You may become president of the company or some big CEO, even our great president of the United States. I'll promise you there is nothing in that that's anywhere close to what it is to serve the Lord God. I'm glad you and I have been given not only that task, but we've been given that privilege. Thank God we can serve Him. And I want to say tonight, He's worthy to be served. Joshua said this. Boy, the people couldn't figure out what they wanted to do. One minute they're for God, the next minute they're for self and for pagan idols and everything else caught up in the world. And Joshua said, "Choose ye this day who you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." It's a choice you got to make, and you need to make it. The person to serve. Serve the Lord. And now I want you to notice the third thing about serving, the pleasure in service. The Bible says here, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now I want to tell you something. There's a whole lot of people that's got the service down. There's a whole lot of people that they're even serving the right person, but they're not serving with the right attitude. God says here to serve the Lord with gladness. Can I say it's not just enough to serve the Lord, but we're to serve Him with gladness. We're to serve Him with joy in our heart. Man, good night. It ought to not be a drudge. It ought to not be a dredge. It ought to not be some. God help us. Ought to not be something we're forced to do, or somebody has to twist our arm, or somebody has to make us feel guilty, or anything like that. Oh, it ought to not be serving out of guilt, but we ought to be serving out of gladness. He said to serve the Lord with gladness. Man, there ought to be joy in your heart. There ought to be just falling off your lips and seeing in your life that you want to serve God, and because you get to serve God, it's a joyful thing. It's not a sad thing. Praise God, I'm not enduring my salvation. I'm not enduring my service, but I am enjoying every minute of it. Serve the Lord with gladness. There are some people that serve. They'll do anything that you ask them to do, but then they'll complain about it. Friend, it ought to not be a burden. It ought to be a blessing. It ought to not be something that, you know, we'll do just because we think it's what we ought to do, but then we really don't want to do. Many people serve the Lord grudgingly, but we're given an exhortation here to serve cheerfully. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 that God loves a cheerful giver. That's part of worship, by the way. He loveth a cheerful giver. If you can't serve with gladness, then your heart's not in the work of God. I want to say tonight, the Lord's just as concerned about why you do what you do as He is concerned about what you do. It's just as important that you serve the Lord with the right attitude, with the right spirit, with the right heart. It's just as important that you serve. Well, I'm going to tell you, so many folks would drop the bondage. So many folks would drop the baggage. So many folks would drop this thing where they feel like they're enduring their self. If they'd just learn, praise God, that there's happiness, there's peace, there's joy, there's contentment, and it's all found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve the Lord with gladness. We see the serving of the Lord. I want you to notice the second thing. Singing for the Lord. He says, come before His presence with singing. Who knows God gave us music? The Beatles didn't give it to us. Hey, God gave us music and He gave it to us to enjoy. In fact, not only gave it to us to enjoy, but He gave it to us for a purpose. I want you to notice, first of all, here as we look at this, I want you to notice two main things about music. Notice, first of all, the place of music. The Bible says, watch this, come before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with singing. Oh, I wish I had time to go into the tabernacle with you and walk up to the laver, walk up to the altar, burn offering and sacrifice, and go through all that takes place there. But we don't have time. But He's talking about going there into the temple, the tabernacle of God. As He says, sing, come before His presence with singing. Listen, music is to be used to worship God. It's a very important place and has a very important place in worship. I want to say this. It ought to be a part of everyone's worship. Now look out in the crowd sometimes, and several of you just standing out there with your face hanging out, or like a calf staring at a new gate. I'm saying, boy, you come in the house of God, pick you up a songbook. We've got one for everybody. Pick one up and open the pages. It's not real hard. And just sing for the Lord. You say, well, I don't sing because I'm not a good singer. I promise you this, I don't sing because I'm a good singer. I sing because I can't help but sing. Praise God, I'm glad that Jesus reached down for me, brought me out of that pit, and put a new song in my heart, and I can't help but sing. If there's anywhere we ought to sing, it's in the house of God, in worship for Him. Somebody said this, some people are prison singers, behind a few bars and always looking for the right key. Some of y'all can identify. Our music is not about the quality of your voice. It's about the worship in our heart. Worshiping the Lord. Satan, of course, has gotten in on the music today and has gotten in, and sadly, even in the church today, and trying to ruin worship other than help worship. churches have some of the most ungodly music. Some of these churches, you'll walk in their services so they can appeal to their attendance and try and increase their attendance. And oh, their attendance will increase with that music. But the people that it brings into the service isn't helping the spirituality of their church. It's like garbage that attracts flies. So the music, you know what it attracts? It attracts the carnal, devilish crowd. And that's what it brings in. And not for the conversion of the people, but instead for the corruption of the church. The people that coming in for something like that, they're not coming in for God. They're coming in for self. It doesn't help. It's not for conversion. It's for corruption of the church. Our singing and our music attracts the devil's crowd. It's about God and not man. It's about making an offering. It's something, listen, our singing and our music, it's not an offering that we're making to man. It's an offering of worship that we make to God. Too many churches are concerned with pleasing man instead of being concerned with pleasing God, and therefore their music is mere entertainment for man instead of an offering of worship to God. It's not about man. Churches are set up so they can please the masses and please the men. And I'm saying, friend, to you this tonight, our music ought to be geared and ought to be regulated and ought to be done for the sole purpose of pleasing and worshiping our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. The place of music. Come before His presence with singing. It has a place in the church, in our worship. You notice the praise in music. He says, once again, come before His presence, and then watch this, with singing. That word singing, friend, involves praise. You look it up and start studying it out, you'll find out real quick, that word singing, it involves praise. Our singing and our music is so that you and I can praise God. It's another way we can praise Him. Thank God, I'm glad we can shout. I'm glad we can say amen. I'm glad we can even cry. I'm glad we can hold up the holy hands. But sometimes we can sing for the Lord, and that's how we praise Him. That's how we praise the Lord Jesus. Our music is to honor God. Just having the words that praise God aren't enough. Just having the right words isn't enough. The sound's got to correspond with the speech. If it doesn't, we're going to be guilty of having the hands of Esau, but the voice of Jacob, as they said in Genesis chapter 27. The hands of Esau, but it's the voice of Jacob. They didn't go together. You can't put new wine in an unclean vessel, friend. You can't mix holy things with heathen things and think that God's going to accept it and God's going to accept that offering that we offer up when we try to just put our little touch on it, our little hint on it, our little things in it. Oh, no, friend, can I say to you, it ought to be a pure, holy thing that we're offering up to the Lord. Worldly music doesn't do much to honor God. The church needs to strive to have the right kind of music. Fanny Crosby said this about a crowd. This crowd wanted her to keep on singing with the same tune, the same tones of the crowd in the saloon that she used to sing for. The same old honky-tonk tunes after she was saved. They just wanted her to change the words. Here's what she said. Sometimes I need to reject the music proposed for my songs. Because musicians misunderstand that the Fanny Crosby who once wrote for the people in the saloons has merely changed the lyrics. She said they misunderstand. They think I've just changed the lyrics. Oh, she's just singing a different type song. She went on to say, oh my no, the church must never sing its songs to the melody of the world. Friend, the lyrics as well as the melody ought to be something that brings honor and glory to God and not to man. Paul said this. He said, of my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I dealt with it on a Wednesday night in depth in like a 3 or 4 or 5 part series and went very deep into why and the reasons we ought to have the right kind of music. You ought to get it sometime and listen to it. But he said, of my flesh cometh no good thing. Jesus said this, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. That's not the flesh, friend. Can I tell you that's different than the flesh? They that worship me has got to worship me in spirit and in truth. Of my flesh cometh no good thing. You can't take the world fleshly carnal music that's used to promote man and glorify man and worship man and take that same music and glorify a holy God. That's just like what they did in Romans 1, bringing God down to man. The Bible says they sought to bring him down to man. So if we're to sing unto the Lord, what is it we're to sing? Well, I mentioned it a minute ago. We're to sing a new song. He put a new song in my mouth. We're to sing unto the Lord, but not what the world's singing. We're to sing a new song. I want you to go with me to Psalms chapter 59, and quickly I want to show you a few things about what we're called to sing. Psalms chapter 59, we'll look at two verses, verse 16 and 17. Psalms 59, verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, "But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy." Number one, we find out here, in thinking about what we ought to sing of God's power. Oh, we ought to sing about the great and the greatness and the power of God. All throughout the book of Psalms, you see them singing about the Lord and how he brought them up out of bondage with a mighty hand, delivered them. Go with me quickly. Hold your place here. We'll look at this again. But go with me to Psalms 95, back close to where we were, Psalms 95. It's all throughout the book of Psalm here, but I want you to just look at a few of them here. Singing about God's power. They say in verse number 1 of chapter 95, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods." Oh, you know what? They're singing about his power. We could go on. Look at chapter 96. "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among the people." Here it is. "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods." Go on to 97. "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are around about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne." Look with me at chapter number 98. "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand," you ought to know what that right hand means. That's power, friend. "And his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." Chapter 99, "The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved." I'm saying you and I ought to sing of God's power. And then back there in Psalms 100, the Bible says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's he that made us and not we ourselves." You know what that tells me? We're to sing about the power of God, not about our power. It's he that hath made us and not me ourselves. But what I hear people singing the most about is how great they are, how wonderful they are, how powerful they are. You and I ought to sing about the mighty power. Man, I'll tell you, this is a messed up world. We walked to the store yesterday, and they got this garbage on. It's just rap garbage and going on and, you know, talking about how great he is and how he's the man and he's the stud and all this kind of stuff. And what made him worse, we're in a store. It's a place of business. And a girl was sitting behind the counter. She's bouncing and going on back up and down. And I just walked back out. Our music, not for us. Not to pray. Oh, you know what we're to do? We're to be talking about his power and his greatness. If we're not talking about ourselves, we're talking about somebody else. Some other woman or some other man or something like that. You know what that is, friend? Humanism. Oh, the Bible still says, "Thou shalt have..." Well, preach, I don't think be anything wrong with this, a love song with you. Listen, you do what you think you need to do. I'm simply saying the Bible still says, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." Oh, God still says this, that no one is to be more important than he is in our life. Our songs and our music, it's not for me. It's not for you. It's all for him and for his glory. Sing the power of God. Not only that, he goes on. Back in 59, verse number 16, says, I'll sing of the power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy. Many times we think of mercy, we think of grace. While they're two different things, they kind of go together. Grace, we know, is unmerited favor. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. I don't deserve heaven, and neither do you. Thank God I still get to go there. That's grace. Unmerited favor. Getting what I don't deserve. But mercy is not getting what I deserve. I'm a hell-deserving sinner, but I don't have to go there. That's what mercy is. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. He says here that we ought to sing of God's mercy. Can I say to you, friend, tonight, honey, if you can't find anything else to sing about, somebody in here ought to be able to sing about the fact that God was merciful to them. They ought to be able to sing about the fact that God saved them so, fixed their wretched life up, brought them up, fixed them up, set them up, and saved them. There's nothing else we ought to be able to sing about. We ought to be able to sing about that. Amen? Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Oh, we ought to be able to sing about the mercy of God. Pardon there was multiply to me. We ought to be able to sing and tell the world about God's mercy. I'm talking about the time when we stood in our sin. A time when we stood there without an excuse. I'm talking about the time when we come face to face with our sinful condition and that law cried guilty. But hallelujah, mercy answered and said, forgiven. And if you can't sing about anything else, you ought to be able to sing about God's mercy. I love the song. It's one of my favorites. I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. My voice is shredded. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. And that's when mercy walked in. Amen. Sing about His mercy. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented to cover my sin. The moment that mercy walked in. Well, somebody ought to be able to sing that. Sing of His power, sing of His mercy. Notice what he says. Verse number 16 again. I will sing aloud the mercy in the morning, for thou hast been, what's just my defense. Sing of God's defense. You know that defense, it's the proper term or rendering of it, if you will, is a cliff. It's like being under a cliff or a lofty, it says, or lofty or inaccessible place, a defense. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. God's defense, amen. He helps it living by faith. Yes, living by faith. In Jesus above. In Jesus above. Trusting, confide. Trusting, confide. Being in His great love, in His great love, from all harm safe. I'm living by faith. No harm. God's defense. Then we ought to be able to sing, he says, look with me at verse number 17. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense. If you back up in verse number 16, he says, after defense and refuge. In the day of trouble. I want you to look with me quickly to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. I love this psalm. I quote most of it, but I might mess it up. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Talking about the refuge. Talking about being under the wings. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And it goes on, thank God, He is our refuge. And when the clouds of doubt hover o'er me, angry waves toss me to and fro, there is a place where I can go. He's a shield from every tempest. He's an anchor that is sure. In times like these, it's good to know that God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run to. Aren't you glad He's your refuge? What to sing about it. Thank God He's our refuge. Got to know the song, leaning on the everlasting arm, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. And then last, we ought to sing of God's strength. He says in chapter 17, once again, that we ought to sing of His strength. Oh, my strength will I sing. It speaks of security. It speaks of a strong arm again, and while to sing of His strength. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Sing of His strength. I'm glad tonight that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. When I'm weak, then I'm strong, Paul said. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I want to say to you tonight this. If we'd get our service right, and if we'd get our singing right, because one deals with work and one deals with worship, and if we'd get these two things right, we'd be on our way to honoring God with our life. We'd be on our way to honoring God with our church. We'd be on our way to honoring God with everything we do. Serving and singing. Maybe there's somebody here tonight and you know you're not serving like you ought to. You're not serving like, and you know there's things He wants you to do that you're not doing. You may be doing plenty of things. Maybe there's something you're not doing that He wants you to do. Maybe you've gotten caught up in serving self and other things have gotten in the way. It happens. But friend, listen, you can come to God tonight and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm choosing today, Lord, to serve You. Maybe there's somebody that's been serving, but you've not been serving with gladness. Oh, yet every service, you teach that class, you run that bus, you work in that junior church or wherever it is, the choir, you come up in the choir, man, sometimes you ought to come out here and look back up here what they're looking at. You know you're not serving with gladness. How's your music? Young people, you can come to church, you can go to Christian school, you can be in home school. You can sing in that choir, but if the music that you listen to, if the music that's on your iPad or iPod, any of those things, listen, if what's on those headphones, if it isn't music that honors God, you're wasting your time with everything else. Because I'm going to tell you something. It all hinges on this right here. Until you get your music right, nothing else will ever be right in your life. Because music controls all aspects of your life. Listen to me. Music has a message. All music has a message. Music has a motive. Listen to me. Music has a motive. That motive is either to honor man or it's to honor God. Every song that's ever been written and sung has been written for one purpose or the other, one or two, to honor man or to honor God. It has a message. It has a motive behind it. Mom and dad, grandparent, what kind of example are you setting with your music? What is it you're listening to when you're not at church? You need to understand wherever you draw the line, they're going to draw a little lower. Well, this really isn't all that bad. Yeah, you know what? They're going to draw it down here. Wherever you draw the line, that by the way, that stands for anything in your life. Wherever you draw the line and the standard says right here, this is where we go, don't go any further, they're going to draw a little lower. What's that tell you about where you need to be with your music? As children of God, we're called to sing a new song. And I got to tell you, when you get your service right, and when you get your song right, man, the Christian life is a great life. There's nothing more pleasurable and enjoyable than singing and serving, Brother Joe. There's nothing more pleasurable than driving down the road, boy, and getting that touch from God, amen, as that song comes on the radio and you're serving the Lord, whether you have visitation or maybe you're heading over to do something else at the church, whatever it is, are you just serving God with your life out at your job? You can do that too, by the way. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, there's no greater life than to serve and to sing for the Lord. Nothing. You think about all the other religions. Atheism, they don't have any music. Think about even the pagan religions. Think about the Muslims. I mean, they ain't allowed to listen to music. Think about their religions. Because they don't have any reason to sing, friend. But buddy, we do. We do. Christian life is a great life. Nothing any better than to serve and to sing the Lord. We got so much to sing about, amen? His power, His mercy, His grace, His love, His defense, His refuge. Always stand for prayer. Who needs to come and get this right tonight? Who's just honest enough and plain enough to come and say, Lord, I've gotten slack with my service. Not been doing it with gladness. Lord, I've been doing it, and I don't have any intention to stop, but I've not been doing it with gladness. Lord, give me that joy back in my life. Give me the pleasure of serving You back. Oh, it's easy to get weary in well-doing. Who would come and say, Lord, no reason to pretend with You because You already know about my music. Why is it we come to God sometimes faking? Don't mention it because we act like if we don't mention it, He won't know. He already knows. While we sing, whatever it is, maybe somebody needs to come and show the Lord their determination by praying for the impossible. Whatever that is that you're praying for, whoever that is that you're praying for, how bad do you want it? How serious is it? How important is it? Whatever it is, if God spoke to you, why don't you come?
Take my feet and let them be
swift and beautiful for Thee. While we sing, you got the opportunity to come to the Lord tonight. Get things right. Glad He offers second chances. Still time, why don't you come if God spoke to you? Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. If we'd ever do that, a lot of things in our life would be different. I'll promise you that. if God had his way with our will, a lot of things in our life be different. He wouldn't do some things the way we do them. We'll sing another verse here. If God spoke to you, there's still time. Why don't you come? Consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
Take my life and let it move
at the impulse
of Thy love.
At the
impulse of Thy
love. Amen. It's been so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer and be right back in your place for Wednesday night. Looking forward to continuing on with our series, and so you be right.